May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac and Michelle. Hartley, good afternoon. How's your week going so far?
It's good. I feel like we're getting into the year properly now. We're getting a lot more rumors, a lot more articles up on the website across all different products that we've got coming. So I think it's really starting to heat up.
Yeah, there's some new things coming. I feel like once February starts to get going and we start pushing into March, it's like from March on, you should expect some things at least every, couple months, there's going to be stuff happening, especially as we ramp into the summer and then obviously into the fall. But that leads us to a few products where we have noticed and we're getting countless reports that some things are imminent. So last week, we talked all about the Mac and specifically the M5 MacBook Pros. M5 Pro and M5 Max variants. We expect those to be pretty soon, probably the end of the month, maybe early next month, but it might not be the only product that we get. So we'll start with the iPhone 17e. So as you remember, last year, Apple released the new 16e, which kind of takes the spot as the iPhone SE successor, but it's now named with the current iPhone lineup. So it's, I guess it's a current, I don't know. It's really hard to get into the naming things and we just won't do that. But the iPhone 17e is expecting an update. And we are seeing that the 16e stock is dwindling. So I guess that only means that it's time. What can we expect with the new 17e? Any massive features? I know that there's one on this list that I'm pretty excited about because it was one of my major pain points.
So there was quite a lot that we've heard rumored about this device. One of the main rumors we heard was about like finally getting Dynamic Island, shrinking down those borders. But it now looks like that's not going to happen. So the most recent major report we had on this was from Mark Gurman, just this weekend gone. And he said that it's going to be a fairly small upgrade. Probably the biggest addition will be MagSafe, which was a sort of glaring omission with the iPhone 16e, even to the extent that obviously they have to have these different display stands in Apple stores where it kind of leans up against a MagSafe type puck, but it's not actually connecting magnetically. And if people want to add that, they have to buy those kind of adhesive magnetic rings or get a case that has that. So it did seem like something that Apple tried to keep some separation at the time between the iPhone 16 and iPhone 16e, which were relatively similar devices. But now that we have the iPhone 17 and it's a much better value proposition, I think they feel a little bit more comfortable offering that feature on this new device.
Yeah, that was my pain point. I mean, aside from not having an extra camera, which we're not going to get, but MagSafe, it was an easy fix. I found a case online that, just gives you the ability to put, you're not getting MagSafe specific charging features. You still have wireless charging. I don't remember if it was Qi2 compatible or not, at this point. But you could still charge wirelessly. The point is, though, if you want to put it on a dock where it's, you know, magnetically attached to it, you couldn't do that unless you got a case or, like you said, some of those adhesive strips or whatever. And that's an easy fix, $10 case, whatever. But I don't use a case on my phone typically. So, you know, for those people who don't, or if you just want the other benefits that come with MagSafe charging and all of that, it's just, it's nice that this is kind of happening, because that was kind of something that I'm like, it's not that big of a deal. But it ended up becoming a pretty big deal. So that's a pretty big feature. But otherwise, I mean, an A19 chip, that'll be fine. I guess the people that are buying this are not going to be the type of people that are going to care or notice any improvements, or, you know, your phone's going to work just as well as you think it would. The C1X, 2x faster, 30% less power. That's all great. I mean, it's a good modem for, you know, for your phone calls and getting data and just having that consistency. And then more importantly, the power efficiency. So you're not eating up your battery.
Battery life. I mean, that was the big thing that Apple really touted with the iPhone 16e, was what that custom modem was able to achieve. So if it's using 30% less power and it's one of the most power hungry components on the device, in combination with the A19, it should have an even longer battery life. And the 16e's battery life was already so good. I think that will be really appealing to a lot of buyers.
It was really good. And you don't even have the screen. I mean, it's a nice display, but it's not ProMotion. So it's not taking up a ton of power either. So compared to some of the other phones out there. And then you'll get the N1 for Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and Thread. So that'll even probably increase the efficiency more. It'll be just a better optimized device for the way Apple envisions these components working with the rest of the ecosystem. And you know, just kind of puts it more in line with a 17 lineup phone, I guess. I guess that's why they're naming it that. But I mean, if you have a 16e, you're obviously not going to upgrade to this. If you're somebody out there who's got a really old device and you're like, listen, I just need a phone that's going to work well, and I'm just scrolling social media, I'm taking a few pictures here and there, but it's nothing crazy, and I need it for phone calls, like, yeah, this is perfect for you. I think a lot of people that I've known personally to buy this phone in the real world have been people, honestly, over the age of 60, you know, our parents' age and older. It's a really good device for them. And then just on the other side, for kids, like if this is their first phone, maybe you're 15. I don't know when you get your first phone, but for your first device, it's a really good starter phone. It's not going to break the bank. I still think it should be $499 instead of $599. And unfortunately, I believe, right, Hartley, it's going to maintain that $599 price point is what the rumors are suggesting.
Yeah, so it looks like Apple's going to position this as more features for the same price. I mean, they're not major features. It's a spec bump.
Yeah.
But for the kind of customers who are going to buy this device, I think that that is quite important, considering that if you're buying a low-cost iPhone, chances are you don't care about the latest and greatest. You actually care about something that's going to last. And if you were walking into an Apple store right now and you're trying to buy a 16e, even those customers may have a little pause if they know they're going to get a year's extra longevity potentially out of holding off another week or two for an iPhone 17e.
I mean, I'm not going to give a shout out to Andrew and Kevin, but I get ripped on that from them quite a bit, because I have said that I would use the 16e as my main device if it had the telephoto camera. That's all I really needed. And MagSafe, I guess, if I wanted to like get real nitpicky. But like, if I wasn't doing this and I'm buying phones, you know, with my own money, and I'm being a smart, reasonable like consumer and just trying to save as much money and maximize, that's the phone. Like, that's the one that I would get, because it's got everything that I need. It's got great battery life. It's a perfect size. It's durable enough. It looks fine. Like, I didn't really need anything else. And they just don't believe me when I said that I would do it, because I'm always using the Pro. You know, that's just the unfortunate, you know, mega consumer in me that just thinks that they need the greatest. And, you know, I know I don't need that. But like, if you really boil it down, this is a perfectly fine device. Or if you want to get a little bit, you know, more carried away, but still be somewhat reasonable, it's the base model iPhone for every year. That's the one to get. Let's just be honest with ourselves.
I am fascinated to see how popular the iPhone 17e is, because by all reports, the iPhone 16e has not done very well.
Of course not.
And I think that's part of the reason why they are moving to put MagSafe on there. And I wonder if their research shows that that's held off a significant number of buyers and has pushed many people over to buy an iPhone 16 or iPhone 17, depending on the time of year. I've said before that I think a lot of people are put off by the branding.
Yeah.
Because it's not like an iPhone SE where you're buying a budget device, because it doesn't actually feel like a budget price point. And yet you're not getting a full iPhone 17, which has a larger display. It's got ProMotion. It's got a more refined design. It's got an additional camera. It's got a better front-facing camera. It's got Dynamic Island. There is a lot of extra capability packed into that device. And yet that's only $100 more than this will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that is going to present a little bit of a problem for the iPhone 17e and just for the whatever they want this product to be going forward. And I think that's actually really only going to get worse, because $100 is not a huge amount of money, especially when it's subsidized through carrier plans. And we are moving to a situation where the iPhone 18 will be unveiled alongside the iPhone 18e. So who is going to be buying an 18e knowing that that is the newest device alongside the iPhone 18 when there is only supposedly $100 between them?
I mean, unless they raise the prices of the other phones and keep that one the same and there's a bigger gap, no one should, especially if you're subsidizing, because like you said, it's just a couple dollars, maybe if that, a month. And so many carriers for these really low-end phones, the lower on the totem pole models, just offer free, like, you can get one for free if you open up a new line or whatever. Like, open up the line and pay the $10 a month or whatever and get your phone for free and then sell your other one and pocket the cash. Like, at some point you're going to be, and then you have an extra phone, or yeah, put another line on it, give it to your kid. Like, there's got to be a way where you can take advantage of these free offers, because there's so many of them. So you could get this phone for free pretty quickly, but you can also get the 17 for free in a lot of, you know, circumstances. So like, which one do you do? The other thing is, I wondered if like, if you made it like a 5.8 inch iPhone and then kept everything else the same, and just instead of a 17e, you called it the 17 mini, would people buy that more? Because we often see how many people want a mini phone again. So if you made it smaller and it was the smallest phone in the lineup and it had lesser features, but it was the mini moniker, would that, I mean, the mini didn't sell well either, which is why we don't have it, but would that be better than what we're getting out of these sales?
It's an interesting question. I think that it would open the device up to a market of customers who are currently not interested in it. Those people that do want a smaller iPhone.
Yeah.
But it would also close off a segment of the market who wants a low-cost iPhone and wants the biggest display possible for that price. They consume content on it. They're not enthusiasts. They probably waited a long time to upgrade and they want a big display. And I think Apple has made the calculation that actually that market is bigger than the market of people who just want a tiny iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But it's funny because you say that pretty much every time we talk about this.
I know. And I love the iPhone 12 and 13 mini too. I was sorry to see it go.
Right. But like, the problem is we say this every single time, but then we're like, Apple makes their calculations, but the calculations are still wrong anyways, because no one ends up buying these. They just either want the highest phone you can get or the cheapest of that new model. That's just what it is. They don't want a budget branded device. And if they do, it's just a very small subset of people.
And I think if they do, they expect it to be cheaper. That's why the iPhone SE was so successful, because that was a very accessible phone. I mean, I remember, what was it? The third generation iPhone SE came in at $429. That feels like good value. But $599 is a big jump. And I know that this device is a lot better. It's very comparable to an iPhone 16 in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I still think it feels quite expensive. As the lineup develops, this will all become a little bit clearer. I wonder if maybe there are price rises on the horizon, and maybe the iPhone 18 is going to cost $50 more or something, and then we actually start to feel the value of this, the way that this device is positioned a little bit better. But we'll see. I mean, it's only going to be around for a year.
There were also some other devices that were rumored to be getting a refresh. And before we get into all of that, let's take a quick break to hear from today's sponsor. When I first started this podcast, I remember thinking, I have no idea if this is actually going to work. Is anyone going to listen? is this worth the time? And then you're suddenly doing everything yourself. You're recording, you're editing, you're putting out branding and promotion, and it all adds up fast. And the same thing can be said with starting a business too. That's why having a platform like Shopify is such a game changer, especially if you ever want to turn your audience or your business into something bigger. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names to brands just getting started. If you've ever thought about launching merch or building your own online store, Shopify makes it simple. You can build a beautiful store with hundreds of ready-to-use templates that match your style. They've got powerful AI tools that help write product descriptions, page headlines, and even enhance product photography. And everything from inventory to payments to analytics, it's all in one place. It's time to turn those what-ifs into with Shopify today. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/Mac. Go to shopify.com/Mac. That's shopify.com/Mac.
May is Maytag month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
So, yes, it's not just the iPhone 17e that is apparently imminent along with these MacBooks. I think maybe, are we in line for like a press release week of just a bunch of new devices? Or do we see maybe this and our upcoming topic here, which is the iPads, both the Air and the, 12th generation now, base iPad are due for an upgrade. And so, yeah, I mean, there's really nothing to write home about these upgrades, but they will be updated and refreshed. So I can definitely see these obviously being press release worthy items. Do we get them all at the same time? Is it one a day? I kind of missed that. I don't know if it was like COVID when that happened, when we had a whole week of new devices and it was just boom, 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 one each day. It kind of made things exciting, but
I think it's certainly possible. I don't know if Apple's going to space these out maybe a week apart, because we've got two new iPads. We've got the iPhone 17e and then also those MacBook Pros. Mm-hmm. That is enough for a week of press releases, but I wonder if actually it's going to be better spaced out a little bit more. But I guess we'll see. There's not a huge amount to say about these iPads. Certainly the iPad Air, at least, just moving to the M4. No other changes expected. But
yeah,
I find the iPad Air a little bit frustrating at the moment, because it does ostensibly sell very well, but so little has been done with that device since 2020. So we got that redesign in 2020, where they added the A14 chip to it, A14 Bionic. That's how long ago it was when this device received that new design, which itself had been lingering around since the 2018 iPad Pro. And then they added an M-series chip, which of course is no external changes, and then they introduced a larger model. But that doesn't actually, of course, affect the smaller model. That's pretty much it. It is a little bit of a shame to see them not really doing more with it. But, I mean, it does sell ostensibly in good numbers. I just think we always get a little bit frustrated talking about the iPad lineup and how it kind of, there are so many choices and so many options, and things don't seem straightforward. And I kind of hope that with each new iPad Air, things will become clearer. We are expecting an OLED iPad Air, but not this year. So maybe this is the last time we will see such an incremental upgrade. But as we were saying before, I think that if you're in the market for a new iPad Air, you'll be glad it's got the latest chip, but that's about it.
I mean, the iPad just is the stepchild of the iPad Pro. I mean, the iPad Air is So it just gets the features later on in life, but it's still a very serviceable iPad. It's the iPad you should get if you're like, do I need an iPad Pro? If you got to ask that question, most likely you don't. So just get the iPad Air and you'll be happy with saving a bunch of money and getting pretty close to the same experience. I know that there are some things that are different, but from a performance standpoint, you'll be fine. From an accessory standpoint, they're basically the same. You get all of the things that you would want that I would need from an iPad Pro. That's another one of those things where it's like, okay, if I'm spending my own money and I think I need an iPad, I would just get the iPad Air because it's going to give me a very similar experience to the iPad Pro, and I can save myself probably nearly $1,000 when all is said and done on the total cost. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what it is. And then we have our favorite iPad, the entry level, which is the one you buy because your family needs an iPad to pass around, or you need to get something for your kids, or you just want something that's going to work really, really, really well for watching content and maybe scrolling through, you know, your timelines on social media and stuff. Now that there's an Instagram app, it's just great. You know, do what you need to do on that iPad. You can do whatever you want that's reasonable. And you're going to, it's cost $329 or something like that. Usually you can find it under $300 after a few months. It's perfect.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of that device. I think that really probably about maybe 70% of iPad customers could have an entry-level iPad and be perfectly happy with it. It doesn't have that laminated display, which is a little bit of a shame. But if you don't know what that is, which is the majority of people, you're not really going to care. I think this upgrade is a little bit more interesting than the iPad Air's move to the M4. So we're moving from... we're moving two chip generations. So the current iPad 11 has an A16. This new device will be an A18, skipping the A17 generation. And that finally gives it Apple Intelligence support, which was oddly missing when the iPad 11 came out. We were expecting it to have an A17 chip, which would have given it Apple Intelligence support. And then you would have had it across the lineup because it's the only iPad on sale that doesn't have that right now. But the A18 will give it Apple Intelligence and all of those new features that are coming sometime. Who knows when?
Perfect segue, Hartley, because that is our last bit of information that we need to spend the majority of our time talking about. And it's not good news. So we gave you good news. And if you're in the market for any of these devices, well, they'll be coming soon. But kind of seems like our old friend, the revamped Siri and all of its features are going to be delayed once again. Doesn't seem like it's going to be too long, but I mean, I don't know. Hopefully this is just inaccurate reporting. No offense to Gurman. Is that who did this? I'm just guessing.
Yeah,
okay.
But I don't think it is inaccurate.
Well, this is the one time I wish Mark was wrong, because I would like for this to be, I mean, this would be coming soon, like 26.4. We would expect that to be the beta is opening up, what, next week? 2 weeks?
So a previous report from Mark Gurman said it was coming during the week of February 23rd. Mm-hmm. iOS 26.4, which has always been Apple's internal goal to release the personalized Siri features, at least since it announced the delay last year. Of course, originally, it was supposed to come with iOS 18. But that was way back at WWDC 2024. 25's gone. We're now looking at WWDC 2026, and we still don't have it. We still don't have anything. We still haven't even seen a demo since that day of any of those features. But now it looks like they're slipping from 26.4. So this internal deadline that they've had for a year is now moving, and the situation is apparently fluid. Some features might still make it into 26.4, but it looks unlikely because now the features are appearing in apparently internal builds of 26.5, not 26.4. And in that version of 26.5 for internal use, it is apparently not working very well. So there's still time.
What could have possibly have happened, though? Like, that's, and this is just coming out of pure ignorance. I'm not a software engineer. I'm not a developer. I don't know. So I'm just asking, like, what happened where we were all under this impression that this timeline, which is pretty soon, you know, it was good. If it was good enough to go in 2 weeks, what changed? And why can't you just roll it back from there? And whatever you did that messed it up, save that for a different time. Maybe it's a specific feature they implemented that they probably shouldn't have. I don't know, but some of it has to be working well enough to be able to get out there in a beta.
I don't know. I think that the development deadline to this whole thing has been incredibly rushed and panicked and filled with a lot of expectation and concern. I don't think that there was a perfectly working version of this at any time. So it's not like they have anything to roll back to because they just haven't finished building it to the standard that they're happy with.
That's why I was hoping that it was the other way and that something happened and they pushed something new and it broke a lot of things. And it's like, oh, we'll just go back and we'll just table that. But I think you're right. I don't think it was ever fully working well to begin with, because this is honestly, unfortunately, the reputation that this specific feature set has gotten, because it wasn't ready when it was announced as it being kind of ready, because we saw stuff about it and then it didn't get obviously released. And now I just kind of feel like that's just the way it's going to be at all times for this, which is a bummer because we're all patiently or impatiently waiting for it. Okay, so 26.5, honestly, at that point, why don't you just wait until iOS 27?
Well, I think that it's because there is 26.7?
Whoa!
I mean, that will be way up, but iOS 27 will come out in September, which is still ages away. So
yeah, but it gets released in June as a developer build, in which case it gives it more credibility if developers and people like us have it in our hands.
It does give it credibility, but also there is a lot of market expectation around this stuff.
Sure.
And even this headline yesterday that Mark Gurman published about these features now ostensibly being delayed, it hit Apple's stock price. That single report had a material effect on Apple in the market. Investors are very concerned about Apple's ability to keep up. And AI is having a huge market impact across tech, obviously. And there is a lot of concern about Apple's position in that. So if Apple failed to ship this again, or pushed it right out until September, I don't think that just showing it to developers would really be enough. And it looks like they're going to kind of try to do that, but in a stealthy way. So what Mark says is that it looks like Apple could stagger the features here across releases. So we'll get a few improvements to Siri in 26.5, then a few more in 26.6, and then a few more in 26.7, and then we'll have iOS 27 coming out, and that will finally have the chatbot version of Siri. It will be a much slower rollout, and maybe more fanfare will be made about smaller features along the way.
Well, that was going to be my comment, though. I feel like the fanfare won't be enough. I feel like to us, you don't need to do a whole lot of fanfare. We have been keeping up with it. But to 98% of the world that uses an iPhone that has no, they don't remember what you did to you. They don't remember. I'll tell you right now. They have no idea any of the Apple intelligence features that were actually worth talking about that don't exist right now. They don't remember what it is, okay? I'm not insulting anyone's intelligence. I'm just being honest. They need to be reintroduced to this. So why not do it in a more of a bigger fashion where it's all coming out at once? It is a massive update. It gets people to be like, oh, you know what? At WWDC, I saw on the news that iOS 27 is going to be huge and we're going to get all these features. They're not going to know that this was what was talked about 2 years ago and that we didn't get it.
I agree. And I think that it would, especially when you think they were running those ads that were showing how it works. And that sort of stuff is good and would help people understand that there's all this new functionality on their device. But I think at this stage, there is such panic about this that they just need to ship something. It doesn't matter if it's a small enhancement to Siri. So one of the things that's been singled out in this report is there are two new features, neither of which were actually announced at WWDC, but apparently these are working better. So maybe this is what comes first. So 26.4 could conceivably include the ability to ask Siri to generate images using Image Playground.
Cool.
Which, I don't care about.
Yep.
I'm not sure anyone does. And the other one is for the ability the ability that Siri would search the web more effectively. So you would not get, here's what I found on the web, which is good.
That's a good improvement.
And I'm sure that we would be quite excited by that single change. But this may well be how it works now, that it's very small, it's in individual chunks, and it has to be a little bit more polished. But I mean, I hate to say I told you so, but when they announced this delay, I said I don't think they'll make it. And here we are. One of the problems that they've got with it, which I think is really interesting, is when you ask this new version of Siri something, it apparently doesn't always understand that it is now capable of answering that question. So just defers to asking ChatGPT. So they've got someone asking, like, I don't know, a little bit like that WWDC demo saying, you know, check what time the flight comes in based on what's in messages. And it says, working with ChatGPT.
You're like, no, don't do that. You can do that.
You can now do this.
Siri has gotten lazy, I guess. It's just like, nah, I'm just pushing this off.
Yeah, so these are the problems that now seem to be quite troublesome.
Have they tried turning it off and then back on again?
I would hope so.
Big savings are in the air. Don't miss your chance at 15% cash back during Rakuten's Big Give Week. Shop and get rewarded at your favorite stores like Adidas, KitchenAid, Expedia, and hundreds more. So go ahead and refresh your closet, spruce up your home, book that trip, and much more. But 15% cash back is only from May 4th to the 11th. So join now. Go to Rakuten.com or download the Rakuten app and join for free and start saving. That's Rakuten.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Think about your mentors and idols, the people who inspire you most. While it may look like they have all the answers, they don't. But they do know when to ask questions and seek the support they need. In a world that glorifies hyper-independence, it's easy to forget that we're all better with a support system. Therapy is a great way to find a consistent source of support in your life, so you can break free from the outdated belief that seeking help is a sign of weakness. BetterHelp has experienced therapists ready to help you with challenges ranging from anxiety and depression to relationships and stress. It's convenient, too. You can join a session with the click of a button, helping you fit therapy into your busy life. And you deserve that. You can even send your therapist a message anytime something comes up. Build your support system with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
I mean, I'm doubtful anyway that when we get these personalized features, how much scope they'll really have. I know that there'll be on-screen awareness. That was one thing that was announced. And there should be an ability for you to make inquiries about sort of personal information across apps. But I imagine that when this first launches, in whatever form it does and whenever it does, it will be limited. So you'll be able to make an inquiry based on recent messages and calendar, and maybe you'll be able to ask some questions about things you've maybe recently listened to in Apple Music. But that will kind of be it in terms of personalized features. I can't see this doing anything crazy with on-screen awareness or taking actions in complicated ways using app intents. I just don't think we're there. Like, they can't even ship a simple version of this. So it looks like it's going to be a bit of a trickle. Very interesting, because I actually, as much as I saw this coming a year ago, I think I was starting to believe it because it was so soon. We were expecting to see this. I was expecting to see your video about it in just 2 weeks or so. But
would be pretty nice. You know, I will say, maybe we do get something, and it would be very much like Apple, because I feel like oftentimes when another company is having their big event, they seem to know and drop their news. And Samsung just announced that Unpacked is on February 27th, I think, or whatever that week Wednesday is. So I wouldn't be surprised if something, either any of the new products that we just talked about, or if maybe we do get those new features in a beta or something like that, get dropped that week. But I don't know. I don't think you're going to be getting a video from me on better Siri. Maybe you'll get one on generating images via Image Playground. I need to know how many people use Image Playground on a regular basis. Like, that is something that I have to know. It's burning in me. It's burning in me. The desire to know how many people very on a regular basis use Image Playground. Do you use Image Playground? When was the last time you've opened the app?
I think I've uninstalled the app.
Sorry. That's not funny. Okay. Go ahead.
No, I think it annoyed me.
I want to pull back because I don't want people to think that like I'm just trashing a thing that somebody worked hard on. If you use it, that's cool. If you know, good for you. Maybe a lot of younger users use it. I have no idea. I have not used it since the day that I made a video on it. I have no reason to. I have no desire to. And this isn't just an Apple thing. I'm not going on them. There's other companies have done this, okay? Samsung, Google, they all have their own version of this. This is not what we want. Like, we don't want AI-generated slop at our fingertips. We want it to just make our lives easier for things. And sometimes it can be easy and, like, useful, but
I think that problem is the way that it's been presented. So it's so clearly, in terms of Apple's own models, and it's not in the same league as what competitors can offer. The images are, they look extremely artificial. And you compare that to what Gemini and ChatGPT can do now, where they can create photorealistic images. I mean, Image Playground can only dream of doing things like that. It's very pared down. But it is useful when it's used inside other apps. So if you're using Apple Invites and you want to create a custom image, or you're working in Notes and you want to use like the wand feature with the Apple Pencil to insert a sketch, that stuff I think is quite useful. But I think the trouble is that they've kind of presented Image Playground as something it's not. They've kind of said, look at this cool app that allows you to generate images. And everyone's just looking at this thinking, but it does, it generates images pretty badly compared to what we expect from the industry right now. And I know that last year they introduced that plugin for ChatGPT, so you can now generate via ChatGPT in Image Playground, which I can't say I've tried out because I can't imagine I'm going to. I sort of suspect, and maybe I'm totally wrong about this, this is pure speculation, I'm not well informed enough about it, that I'm not going to be getting ChatGPT's latest models. And also that I'm going to be able to ask ChatGPT to create anything or throw my own images into it and ask it to edit them. I don't think it's capable of doing those things. I might be wrong about that, but I would be surprised. And yet I think it could be a useful app. Like, if I could have full access to Gemini and ChatGPT and other models, and you know, throw Apple's models in there as well, for if I want to generate something on device without using private cloud compute. Maybe I'm taking a flight and I don't have Wi-Fi and I just want to generate something on device. Give me all of these options in the app and let me move between different models and actually play with the different models. You're presenting it as an AI playground. So actually make it that space to do those things, because it really isn't right now.
I'm fully checked out on AI generated content right now. It's gotten too much for me. I don't have a use case for it on a regular basis, but hopefully some people do and can take advantage of, you know, and then all the things that you just mentioned would be helpful for them. But to me, it's just something that I'm not going to use. So, I mean, that's kind of the unfortunate news that we have right now, but I don't know. Maybe by June we'll be singing a different tune at WWDC.
Well, this was the other part of this report, was that iOS 27 will be quite a small
delayed
update, apparently.
Sorry. that was mean. I'll take it back.
So it looks like we'll get personalized Siri with the new chatbot interface.
No, I don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it because we're going to get our hopes up. And that's not, I'm going to sound like an Apple shill. And that's the kind of stuff that sucks about this, is because, you know, this is what you get for being such a large company where you have entire reporters and, you know, stuff dedicated to breaking news and getting leaks from your organization. But that's the stuff that makes it unfair to the people that are working on it, but didn't set this deadline. We kind of just set it, you know, or they did set it internally, but it wasn't a public thing. And now you're not going to hit it and you're going to look like a failure when in reality, that's just never wasn't, you know, the true outcome of what was supposed to happen. But yeah, I mean, I'm not holding my breath for it, but if it does make it, that would be great. I would be super happy about that.
Well,
what does muted WWDC mean? What is, oh, hold on. I see you write in our notes here. Are you saying it's not going to be very good?
Well, I mean, muted is the word that Mark Gurman used. So he said that
Mark,
the focus will be on personalized Siri and the chatbot interface, but otherwise it will be like a very low-key event. So the software updates will focus on bug fixes, performance improvements, and just refinements to Liquid Glass. So we're not expecting huge new demos of exciting new features. It's going to be a smaller year because I think so much has been devoted to Apple Intelligence, and that clearly is causing quite a lot of stress. So I think other features are kind of breezing by. And also, I will say, like, Liquid Glass still needs work. Like, it's good. I like it in a lot of places. It still annoys me sometimes. And there are certain places, especially like on macOS, where it feels very unfinished. The more I've used macOS Tahoe, the more I have noticed very questionable design decisions. Some of them I don't think are as bad as people make out, but other ones, I just think, why have we got stuff like the menu bar is way harder to see now. We've got icons for everything in menus that's actually incredibly distracting. The design is good. The concept of Liquid Glass is good, but it still needs that refinement. And apparently that is what's going to happen, but no one's going to get excited about, oh, we've made some improvements to the way that Liquid Glass looks.
Which is why I said just save all this stuff for the new Siri and everything just until then. And then it becomes still like a major event, but like it's not much more than what you are already doing. You're not bringing in new features for the sake of like, oh, we have to do this, otherwise it's going to be a disappointment. Like it's already what you've been building on, and now you just save it and make it a big thing in 27, and then, you know, the rest of the people that are working on general stuff are focused on bug fixes. We won't need new features if this is all that was talked about. I think that would make a pretty big impact.
I agree. I just think that there's so much market pressure now.
Yeah. But the market isn't going to make Apple crumble in 5 months, right? I mean,
I don't know. I think it would cause a lot more panic. And I mean, Apple is important to the global economy. Like,
sure.
I think that especially when you have leadership with people like Tim Cook that are very cautious, very market sensitive. They want to deliver quarter over quarter gains. They always want a success story. This situation's already been embarrassing enough. I think Tim Cook wants at the next earnings call to say, our users love Image Playground and the way you can access it through Siri.
They'll never say that. No one will say that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, listen, I feel like I've done a lot of crapping on Image Playground, so I feel really bad. So podcast@macrumors.com, you know, be respectful, but tell me if I'm wrong. Do you use Image Playground a lot? We've had a lot of great feedback from people. I appreciate everybody's emails. We try to read them all. We try to answer everybody, but, you know, bear with us. There's only so many emails I can answer in a day. But yeah, I mean, keep the conversations going. It's really good insight to just kind of hear what people are actually using, because Hartley, you are out of touch, and so am I. We are out of touch. I'm not calling you. We are all out of touch with what actual people, and we're not completely out of touch, but we're out of touch enough to where we need that gentle reminder that it's not always how we see it, which we totally understand. But like, what are you guys using on these features? Like, what do you want more of? Because that will help. Is it more Image Playground? Who knows? But please let us know in the comments or on our new email address. And we'll catch everybody in next week's episode.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.